This is Ben Clemmer, producer of WBOI Presents. Thank you for listening to this panel discussion found on WBOI.org. Before moderator Rachel Blakeman continues, a reminder that you can listen to WBOI Presents every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. and every Saturday morning at 7 a.m. You just might hear a local panel discussion like this one. Thank you.
Where do you, each of you see the manufacturing workforce going in the next 5, 10, 20 years? And clearly, if you had like an amazing crystal ball, you probably would not be working where you are and like making big money doing this. But from where you're standing right now, what do you see sort of on the horizon in the next 5 years, assuming that the economy doesn't crater, but then also in like the next 5 to 10, or 10 to 20?
Well, I definitely see more emphasis being put on automation, like it already has been, and that's why there's been a decline in some of the types of roles that do not exist in manufacturing anymore. So that will continue to happen where it's not, and then some of the companies who are not choosing to go to be automated will, you know, either not have a succession plan for that and close up or sell out. And I also see it becoming more complex. It's already become complex with robotics and some of the different machinery that we were talking about earlier, and it is not something that someone just goes into who doesn't have problem-solving skills or is not process-oriented. This, we're going to continue to see an increased demand and reward premium for people who are able to, one, solve problems, but then also do more than one thing, to be very flexible and very knowledgeable on what type of machinery they are using. So because of that, you're right, you don't have a crystal ball, and it moves at such a rapid pace because technology changes so often and continues to change, that will continue to happen. The increase in demand will continue to rise, and for people who are technically inclined or process oriented, who can be the operators and be at the forefront in the workforce.
So we recently pulled together advisory councils from each of our target industries and asked them a couple of the same questions. And one of them was, in one word, what technical skill, did the soft skill and technical skill, but you know, one word, what do you need from an employee? And of course, you get either HR or managers in there, and they give you like 15 words. But still, one thing that really came up, particularly in the medical device and then the advanced materials industries and the automotive, was entrepreneurial. They want their folks to be entrepreneurial. And so they're talking about production folks. So what they're really looking for is that lifelong learner and someone who says, oh, we got that new machine, I'm gonna be the best at that new machine, not, oh, we got that new machine, I'm gonna stick to what I've known. So I think that from a skill perspective and from a staffing perspective and a personnel perspective, I think those are the kind of folks that are really going to succeed 5, 10, 20 years down the road. And then I think from an industry-wide perspective, it's gonna be the companies and the industry segments that really innovate. So again, I mentioned Fort Wayne Metals, and they have this really cool thing. It's take a wire that's coiled, and then you warm it up and it straightens out and then as it cools down, it ravels back up. And then, so they kind of pioneered that. Then they've been developing wires that, again, literally dissolve after they're implanted after a certain amount of time. Once the procedure is safe, they just go away, so you never have to remove that implantable. So those are the company, and they're adding 100 people a year at least to their workforce because...
Here, not globally.
Here in Northeast Indiana. Just because they continue to innovate. So I think it's going to be those companies. And we've been blessed historically as a community, as a region, to have some of the innovation here. And I think a lot of those, we're real bad at telling the stories now. We always talk about the Philo T. Farnsworth and all those that designed the TV. People don't really talk about the Scott Glazes who are out there, the metallurgists out at Steel Dynamics that have really kind of pioneered this idea of cold milling. They don't talk about that. We need to talk more about that, but those are the companies that are going to continue to make it.
So, you know, if the economy holds, there'll be more demand. You know, our economy is
functioning at a very atypical rate right now. There's a fear that like technology and innovation will displace this massive number of workers. And then the reality of it is much of this technology has been around for a long time. It's just not scalable. And it may never be scalable. So there's a fear, but the reality of it is the technology usually somehow increases the ability to produce, which increases the bottom line, which allows for more employees to be hired so you can have more production. You know, the other opportunity is that the employers evolve based on the new technological advancement. So with that evolution are new jobs. Like there are jobs that didn't exist 5 years ago or even 2 years ago. So I think there'll be more opportunity as well as new types of opportunity. And the cool thing about it is when those opportunities are created, it's almost a level playing field because it's not like anybody could have trained for it. So, you know, it's one of those things that technology happened. A month later, there's five new jobs. They're just going by who has the best work ethic and best reputation because you couldn't go to school for this because it didn't exist 6 months ago. So there's all kinds of opportunities that I think will happen based off technological advancements and just the evolution of manufacturing as a whole.
Well, with that, I would like to thank you. But before we do that, one final word from each of you to sort of what's the takeaway that we need to come with. When we think about the workforce in manufacturing in Allen County and Northeast Indiana, what do we need to be thinking about?
Continuing to support it and grow it. Retain your talent. You know, if you have family members who have left, encourage them to come back. There are great opportunities here, really, really great opportunities to not only make a decent living, but also to kind of move up the chain. I think that's one thing we've not really spent a lot of time on is the opportunity for career pathway development within manufacturing.
You want to expand on that, Edmund?
Yeah, just in short, you know, just because you start as a production worker doesn't mean you'll do that for 30 years. I mean, most of these employers, unless it's a small mom and pop shop, are fairly large scale, even as a supplier. So there are multiple roles that have to be filled from very white collar jobs to blue collar jobs and the capacities in between and within those. So, you know, looking at it, it's not I'm going to get into manufacturing and be a production worker for the next 40 years. That may be your job for 2 years and then it'll change and then it'll change and it'll change again. So there's great opportunities. There's great opportunities to earn a really high wage. I mean, a plant manager, some of them make a couple $100,000 a year, you know, and I think that kind of gets missed in a lot of the conversations. We talk about $17 an hour jobs, not that there are people making $200,000 or $300,000 who work at this same facility, you know. So I think it's important to just remember manufacturing provides good career opportunities, both at an entry level and at an experience level. And as Ryan said, you know, while it may be subject to some of the economic swings, history has shown us it's also usually the first industry to recover.
I would say that every audience that we've talked about today should put a premium and emphasis on skilling up. So take that next level. So if you're in high school and you're considering, make sure you get that credential before you go in. If you're an entry-level employee, seek that next opportunity, whether it's an on-the-job training or you go to Ivy Tech. Talk to your employer about potential for tuition reimbursement, things like that. If you're a parent, ensure, you know, encourage that your student take that next skill level up, because again, those are the employees that are going to be the most recession-proof, the most layoff-proof. And then if you're an employer, encourage your employees to do that, do the same thing. I sat through an education workforce symposium or something, which basically meant they had a panel of educators talking about how business doesn't get it, and then they had a panel of business people talking about how education doesn't get it, and they never interacted. But this was in Muncie, so it wasn't a local employer, but there's a company talking about how they do full tuition reimbursement. Everybody applauded, and since it wasn't my region, I asked the question, and I raised my hand and said, so what's your percentage take up for that? You know, what percentage of your employees do that? I said, oh, less than 1%. Actually take advantage of that. So, and I'm not saying they don't encourage it. I would never mean to suggest that. but I think they kind of probably don't encourage it. So I would say as an employer, as a parent, as an employee, as a student, always be pursuing that next level, whether it's a certification, another skill set. And that's really, I think, the opportunity to grow.
I got one more. Sorry.
She said one thought.
I know. It doesn't work for me. The other one, because I just thought about it, is to think outside of the box. And it made me think about it because we're here. I was working with a group of artists, actually. And I had never even thought about it. They are the ones that educated me that to get your fine arts degree at IPFW, you have to take a welding class. And I didn't know that because I don't have a fine arts degree. But it's not a class that allows them to get a certification. It's almost an introduction to welding. So what we tried to do was work with them who have this very basic understanding of welding. And many artists are interested in pursuing their art, you know, but they still have to pay their student loan back while they're pursuing their art. So they kind of take random jobs, you know, whether it's at Starbucks or wherever, which is a fine job to have. But it was kind of like to say, okay, you can go somewhere and make $18, $19, $20 an hour for a skill set that you kind of already have, you know, and will allow you to further pursue your art probably better and pay your bills. So the other piece I would say is think outside the box. Sometimes manufacturing or any industry for that matter can be applicable even when it seems like it's not.
I was in one of those meetings and my favorite line that came out of it was, look, you can do art and hate your job at $20 an hour, or you can do art and hate your job at $10 an hour. And if you hate your job at $10 an hour, chances are you have to be nice to people along the way. So what would you prefer?
So specifically talking about the populations that Blue Jacket helps in the community, those with barriers, and maybe just someone who's hit the wall and maybe they're 35 years old, maybe they're 20 years old, doesn't matter how old they are, they're just struggling to find that path they want to take. Really, you know, sitting in this room that we've talked about multiple of resources that are in the community to help them, and some of them are free. And, you know, Work One and some of the certifications that they help people get, I mean, those are certainly things that people, we think they're aware about, but if they're not doing the research and we're not doing our own research to be able to help them, then there's people still missing that. And they could easily have found what they were looking for if they just knew that it existed, that Fort Wayne does have great agencies and organizations here to help get the workforce ready.
Well, thank you very much. So your fun fact for the day is that the 3rd Congressional District of the state of Indiana has the largest manufacturing workforce of any congressional district, so that helps you to understand the scale of manufacturing in Northeast Indiana. So, because we're actually competing against like one of the rural districts in Wisconsin, and we're actually pretty far ahead of them based on U.S. Census data. So I feel obligated as the director of the Community Research Institute to cite the U.S. Census Bureau data. And with that, I would like to thank our panelists, Jared, Ryan, and Edmund. Thank you very much. Okay.